Thank you very much for this privilege to be here this morning to worship together with you, to worship the Lord. As Reverend Chen has mentioned, I'm from Child Evangelism Fellowship. Our goal and objective is really to reach and to teach the next generation, the young ones. Now, CEF is a worldwide organization with more than 2,900 staff. In Singapore, we are very lean. There are only three of us. Right now, we are CEF International. We are ministering in 188 countries. And our goal is to be in all 208 countries by the year 2017. What's so special about 2017? Well, 2017 is CEF 80th anniversary, and we have kind of a catchphrase, and that is to be around the world in 80 years. That's our goal. Now, Child Evangelism Fellowship, as our name show, that we focus on children. But why children? Why do we focus on children? Let me read to you this quote. A child is a person who is going to carry on what you have started. He's going to sit where you are sitting. And when you are gone, attend to those things which you think are important. You may adopt all the policies you please, but how they are carried out depends on him. That means the continuity of our work, our efforts, depend on children. He will assume control of your cities, states, and nations. He's going to move in and take over your churches, schools, universities, and corporations. All your books are going to be judged, praised, or condemned by him. The fate of humanity is in his hands. If the fate of humanity is in the hands of our children, then it makes sense to try to influence them to shape their thinking. Now, what does Jesus say about children? Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. What happened was then, some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Now, about this time, Jesus was very popular, not only because of his teaching, but because of the many miracles that he did. And many people were gathered to him. And I believe that here in this case, the parents were very interested. And they brought their children to him so that Jesus can lay hands on them and to pray for the little ones. But what happened? And the disciples rebuked them. That means Jesus' disciples rebuked the parents. Why do you bring the children here? Go away. Now, we do not know why exactly the disciples rebuked the parents. Probably is that, well, Jesus is a very important person. And he only has time for very important people. Children are not important. Do not bring them here. But what happened? Jesus said, "Let the children alone. Do not hinder them. Do not hinder them from coming to me. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as this." Now, earlier Jesus told them, unless you become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that children can believe. Children can believe in him. Children can trust in him. If children can believe in Jesus, then we must evangelize them. Statistics have shown us that the probability of accepting Christ is highest among children 4 to 14. That's why some of you may have heard of the 4-14 window. These children aged 4 to 14, they are most receptive to the gospel. And they should, you know, have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And they can be transforming agents. They can in turn be influencing others. The statistics put it as 32%. That means out of every 10 children that you share the gospel with, the probability is that 3 of them will respond to the gospel. 3 of them will respond to the gospel. Now, when we talk about children ministry, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? For most people, when you talk about children ministry, they think about Sunday school. Sunday school for the children. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I worship the Lord at Faith Methodist Church at Tanglin Halt Commonwealth. I go to the 8 a.m. service, a traditional service. And after that, I go at 10 a.m., I go over to Anglo-Chinese Junior College because we have another service there. And over there, I teach a class of Sunday school children. I've been teaching P1 and 2 for a number of years, and the last 2 years, I've been teaching P5 and 6. Now, as a Sunday school teacher, I have 1 hour per week with the children. 1 hour per week. 1 year, 52 weeks, I have 52 hours with the children. Now, sometimes we have combined services, we have special events, and Sunday school is suspended. So I have less than 52 hours with the children. Now, think with me. A stay-at-home parent, whether it's a father or mother, you have 24 hours a day, 365 days in a year, that is 8,760 hours. Now, to be fair, let's not compare a Sunday school teacher with a stay-at-home parent. Let's compare a Sunday school teacher with a working parent. A working parent, would it be fair to say that a working parent will have 2 hours per day with the children on a weekday and maybe 8 hours for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday? That works out to 26 hours in a week times 52 weeks is 1,352 hours. I have less than 52 hours a year with the children. A parent has 1,352 hours with their children. Don't you think there is a need for realignment? Parents are potentially the best teachers of their children. Now, this is a graphical representation. One Sunday school teacher, one working parent, is as good as 26 Sunday school teachers. 26 Sunday school teachers. Parents have the advantage of time together with the children. Time for teaching. Time to model the Christian life. Children have an opportunity to observe their parents for good or for bad. Now, if you were to imagine with me, if I can compress 1 whole year in a point of time, right now, you look into a typical Singapore home, probably you see 2 children, right? They have 2 parents, a pair of parents, and that is, if you convert them, if I can change them into Sunday school teacher, that is, look in the house, 2 children with 52 Sunday school teachers in that home. The question is, what are these 52 Sunday school teachers doing? As I mentioned, parents are potentially the best teachers of the children. Now, what does the Bible tell us about the potential influence of children? The potential influence of parents. You all know the story of Moses. Pharaoh decided that there were too many Israelites, and he commanded his people, throw all the baby boys into the river now. A Levi and the daughter of a Levi, they have a son, a baby boy. And he decided to keep the baby boy. His name was Moses. And after 3 months, it was impossible to, in a sense, to hide the child. Probably the baby was crying a lot more. So Moses' mother, Jochebed, put Moses in a basket and throw him into the river now. In some sense, she is fulfilling, obeying Pharaoh's command. But putting Moses in a basket of reeds. You know the story of how Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, and Moses' sister Miriam brought their mother to nurse the boy. So the Moses now is given back to the mother to nurse. Now we do not, the Bible doesn't tell us how long Jochebed has with Moses. But when he was weaned, he was brought back to the palace, and Moses was educated in the wisdom of Egypt. Now the Bible doesn't tell us whether Jochebed still have access to her son. But what we know is this. When Moses was grown, when he was about 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew slave. And he chose to identify with his people. He killed the Egyptian. He compared the riches of Egypt and his identity as a Hebrew, and he chose to identify with his people. How did Moses know that he was a Hebrew? Probably his mother, Jochebed. How did Moses have a love for his people? Probably because of his mother too, Jochebed. He had to flee Egypt, and he was in the wilderness for 40 years. You know the story how God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and all of us are familiar with the excuses Moses gave why he should not go and deliver his people. But do you know why did Moses answer God's call? What was his reason for going to deliver his people? The reason that he gave his father-in-law is that, let me go back to Egypt and see whether my relatives are still alive. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. I believe Moses saw what the Lord saw. He saw the suffering of his people. I believe Moses heard what God heard, the cries of the people for deliverance, for help. Here you find, again, the teachings of Jochebed having an influence on Moses. And you know the story of how Moses went, and then the story of the 10 plagues, and the Israelites were free to leave Egypt. And when Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the 10 commandments in hard copy, the people, Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and the people grew impatient. And they decided to carve a golden calf. Right, make a golden calf and to worship it. And say, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. God wanted to start afresh. He said, I'm going to destroy all these people, he told Moses, and I'm going to start with you. I'm going to make you a great nation. Moses rushed down from the mountain, broke the two tablets, destroyed the golden calf. And the next day he went up to Mount Sinai again. And he pleaded with God. He pleaded with God. God, if you won't forgive them, then blot out my name too. Erase my name from your book. Moses was prepared to die for his people. That's how much he loved his people. What's the main point? That the wisdom of Egypt was no match for the teaching of Jochebed, Moses' mother. You see the influence of Jochebed on Moses. Many parents today are afraid of their children will go astray. they will end up with have wrong company and do all the wrong things. The Bible in Proverbs gives us a general principle. Reading from the bottom up, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word train means to start, to inaugurate. If you start right, you will end right. Now, in the way he should go, what is the way he should go? In Proverbs, it is the way of wisdom. Fleeing from sin, pursuing righteousness. If we start right, we will end right. That's a general principle that Proverbs gives to the parents. So parents need to devote time to nurture their children, because you are potentially the best people. Today, in churches, whenever we have training, whenever we buy materials for children, we are pouring it into who? Into Sunday school teachers. Training is training for Sunday school teachers. Curriculum for Sunday school. Why are we pouring resources, time and effort to the people who has the least influence on the children? 52 hours in a week. Shouldn't we be pouring resources, time and training to parents? Parents who have the most potential to influence their children. Shouldn't we realign, rechannel our resources to parents instead of Sunday school teachers? What should parents focus on as they nurture their children? What tree is this? Orange tree. Would you expect an apple from an orange tree? No. You cannot expect an apple from an orange tree. Now then, why should we parents or the church expect Christian behavior from children who are not saved? Jesus has this to say: for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. The starting point is new life in Christ. Many parents assume that the children will become Christians or believers by osmosis or whatever. We need to share the gospel with the children. We need to give them the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Children can believe. And if children can believe, we must share the gospel with them. Each of us we manifest behavior, we have values, and we have beliefs. But what we see is many behavior, right? I've been invited here to speak to you, to address to you. All of you assume that I'm a believer, right? I am a believer. I can, by what I say, seem like a very spiritual person. But what is the reality that's the most important? The Bible says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. The values and beliefs cannot be seen. You think with me for a moment. Why do you pray? The behavior of praying. What's the values and beliefs behind the action of praying? We pray because we believe there is a God. We pray because we believe this God is all-powerful. We pray because we believe that this God acts in time. He acts in the past and he acts today. And we believe that this God loves us deeply and is interested in our lives. And that's why we go to Him and we pray. But if we focus just on behavior, today, parents, Sunday school teachers, we tend to focus on the children's behavior. But if we just address behavior without addressing the beliefs, then what we have is a veneer. It's an outward appearance, a veneer. I think some Sunday school teachers can tell you that some children can be very, very different in terms of their behavior when their parents are not around. Why? If we focus on just behavior, then we have an external facade, ritual without reality. We parents say, don't do this, don't do that. You know, focus is entirely on behavior. You know, when children are young in primary school, they are at home most of the time. If not in school, they are at home. But once they go into secondary school, they have an EasyLink card, they have a mobile phone, they are all over the places. And you begin to realize that once your child goes into secondary school, you are not the only one talking to your child. Your teen is exposed to people with different beliefs, values, and behavior. Sometimes parents, we are very concerned about choosing the right school, secondary school for our children. But we cannot choose the teachers. Right? We cannot choose their teachers. Your teen will have to decide what to do, and you are not there. The question is this: do our children believe that He is created by God? And because He is created by God, He is accountable to God. God can come go to Him and say, why do you do that? Why do you do this? And why didn't you do that? That because we are created by God, we are accountable to Him. Does he believe that God is omniscient? That even though his parents are not around, God sees all things? Do our children believe that? Children today are influenced by a lot of information. Information entering into the eye gate, the ear gate, and they hear a lot of things. What do they do with that information? How do they filter it? Do they embrace the information? Do they just keep in view? Or do they reject the information? How do they do that? I think what is important is to construct in our children a biblical sieve from which they can evaluate information, whether to embrace or to reject. Now, all of us have a filter in our head. Some have small holes, some have big holes. Big holes, you let in more things in. The kind of filter that we have depends on our knowledge of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, based on our understanding of the Holy Scriptures. And whether we embrace the Holy Scriptures as a guide to life. If the Bible says this, I believe it and I'll obey. Do our children have such a biblical sieve in their mind? Every one of us is vulnerable. I have a friend who is a Christian leader who has gone to churches to preach. He sits on a few boards of Christian organization. He suffered several setbacks in his life. He prayed. He continued to trust the Lord. And the last time I met with him, he says this: Alan, you know, all these years that I've been praying, I've been talking to myself. He went through a difficult time. He couldn't reconcile all the things that's happening to him. And now he is rejecting God. He said, there is no God. I've been talking to myself all these years. All of us are vulnerable. And so it's very important that we help to construct this sieve in our children. That is within the church wall. Children within the church wall. What about children beyond the church walls? I estimated there are about 400,000 children aged 5 to 12 in Singapore. 400,000. You want to guess how many of these are unchurched? Do you have a figure in your head? By the way, I don't know the answers. But I guess, I estimate that 90% of these 400,000 children are unchurched, outside of these church walls. Who will tell them of the good news of Jesus Christ? Some of you may not be able to see this. It talks about a girl boasting about slapping her mother twice. And he called her mother a serious naggy dog. This is a primary school boy, supposedly from a premier school. And he used vulgarities to scold his mate. My wife is a primary school teacher. Several years ago, she was teaching a class of primary four. And she found one girl drawing human figures with all the private parts, doing lesson. Why is this girl so obsessed with this? Someone is influencing them. People are influencing our children. The children that is outside the church walls. The mother here is shocked to find porn on his son's mobile phone. At least his mother knows who is influencing her son. A shop in Golden Mile. And then there is the report that sex texting is on the rise among Singapore teens. Sex texting is girls sending pictures of themselves naked to their boyfriends to keep them. And it seems that among teenagers, this is very common. No big deal. Question, are sex texters are more likely to engage in risky sex behavior? Their online behavior will be their offline behavior. Student from top school, net for drugs. Someone is influencing him. We have a Christian counterculture, the gospel. And this is the transforming power of Christ. Why shouldn't we use this to influence the children? Children within the church walls, children outside the church walls. There is an advancing army of 400,000. These 400,000 children are going to grow up. The question that is confronting us today is this. This advancing army of 400,000, are they for us or are they against us? What are their values and beliefs? What can you do? You can pray. Pray for the children within the church walls that they will grow up to be men and women of God. Pray for the children that is outside the church walls. Pray that they will come to know Christ. You can go back, take what you have heard, and share with parents, share with other people who are not here today. Tell them the great responsibility of parents and the great potential influence that they can have on their children. What else can you do? You can be involved in children ministry. Some of you may think I'm too old to be involved. I know many of you here are older than me, but I'm not young. I'm 60, and I'm still involved with children. You can be involved with children. Or you can bring children to Sunday school. Bring them to gospel outreach events. Next year, St. Andrew Cathedral is sponsoring a national children's conference together with Singapore Center for Global Mission, Scripture Union, and CEF Singapore. There will be outreach event. Bring the children. Bring the unsaved children to the event. And so there is a lot of things that we can do. I put up there cef-singapore.com. We have free resources that you can download. In fact, if you go there, one of our newsletter, our current newsletter, there is a a free online video how you can learn to share the gospel to the children using what we call the wordless book, a book without words at all, just colors. There's a lot of things that you can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for children. We thank you for giving them to us. And Lord, we ask that you help each one of us. Help us to play a part in your plan to bring children to you. So Lord, we pray for the 400,000 children in Singapore. That somehow, Lord, you will give them the opportunity to hear the gospel. And we pray that many will respond to you. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.